A great Christian leader passes from the scene. Deadly storms ravage the South. Riots continue worldwide in the Muslim world. What should our state of mind be?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I had planned on talking about dual covenant theology today on this Thursday broadcast, where we often focus on Israel, Jewish people, Middle East related subjects, talk about the idea that the Jewish people have their own covenant with God and do not need to believe in Jesus, and talk about where it comes from, the error of it. I do plan to return to that, but in light of what's happened in the last 24 hours, I felt to shift the subject matter today. As a great leader in the body and a man I had the privilege of working closely with in the early 1990s, David Wilkerson has passed from this world into a place with someone he dearly, dearly loves and has loved for decades and decades. Also, there's just a lot happening in the world today. I want to talk about it. I want to give you some sober reflections. I want to encourage you to make your life count in the light of eternity. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Facebook is Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, where there are always lively discussions taking place, and many people, as on many websites now across the world, weighing in with their words of tribute and honor to our dear brother David Wilkerson. He was close to 80 years old. I was with a dear friend of his in Israel in November, and he mentioned that his health was failing, that he was getting weaker. And then with another close friend of his, just a few weeks ago, was talking to me about Brother Dave getting physically weaker, retired from active preaching, was just continuing in writing, and I'm sure in prayer, then died in a head-on collision yesterday in a small town in Texas, Tyler, Texas. Because I had the privilege of working closely with Brother Dave and preaching 40 or 50 times at Times Square Church in New York City in the early 90s, because I've been a good friend of his brother Don for many years, and because I was very close with Leonard Ravenhill, who was a giant in the previous generation and a man that helped connect me also with David Wilkerson many years ago, these men carried something very deep. These men carried something highly unusual, especially in our day and age. Nancy and I were just talking about that in terms of, okay, we don't have a Brother Dave here with the voice that he carried. Where are the voices? Look, I am all for the joy of the Lord, and his presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. One of the most joy-filled congregations I've ever preached in my life was Times Square Church, and I'm sure the joy of the Lord remains strong in the presence of God there. People being saved, there's going to be joy. Lives being set free, there's going to be joy. Gazing on Jesus, there's going to be joy, and that revitalizes us and strengthens us so that we can better run our race. But there's so much frivolity in the body. There's so much lightness. There is such a lack of depth and substance. And often, even when the Word of God is preached, there's so little conviction. It seems like superficial messages having a superficial impact on often superficial listeners. And I know that doesn't reflect the heart of God. I know that in the presence of God, there is also deep conviction. I know that in the presence of God, there is consciousness of who he is, which brings deep conviction on sinners, deep conviction on those who are complacent, and then power to repent and be changed. So I want to talk about the voice that Brother Dave was. I want to play some excerpts over the broadcast from David Wilkerson, from Leonard Ravenhill as well, just to remind us of the depth of God, the voice of God that speaks in a way that pierces to the depths of our being. And I want to challenge each of us to reflect in our lives and to ask us, in the words of Leonard Ravenhill, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? We'll also talk about the deadly storms that have ravaged the South in America and talk about what's happening in the Muslim world as well. And I'm going to read some poems for the first time on the air.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. The day after the sudden passing of David Wilkerson, shortly before he would have turned 80 years old, has me reflecting some on the voice that he was to the body. And I'm confident now in his passing that many people who never read his writings or listened to his messages will do so. And maybe a whole new generation will be impacted afresh. Do you agree with me that it seems that there lacks a real lack today in heavyweight voices in the body? I know there's some that have a great ministry of teaching, and it's part of what they do. They teach and equip. And I know there are others, and they encourage us. And then there are others that you know, are real shepherds and care for the health of the flock in different ways. I don't mean that every message has to be thunder and lightning and power and intensity, but it just seems to me there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of noise. There are not many voices today. Do you agree with me? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire for today's program. One clip from Brother Dave on YouTube got a lot of circulation, his call to anguish. I want you to hear this voice. He won't be speaking to us in the land of the living, but his voice will continue to speak, and his legacy and message will speak even more loudly and more clearly. And I believe in his absence, we'll recognize the importance of his message all the more. Clip number one, Joey.
Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish.
That to me, friends, is a prophetic word speaking. That to me is a prophetic voice. Yes, I know that prophets would also predict, but above and beyond that, what prophets do is carry the heart of God and convey the heart of God. And they're broken and shattered by the reality of a holy God in a sinful world. And out of that holy presence, they come and share a burden. You know, because I would swing in and out, I was what was called a swing pastor from the early 90s up to 95 when I preached 40 or 50 times at Times Square Church in New York for Pastor Dave and the other leaders there. There were three different ones that would come in, speak, and go out. So we didn't have any pastoral responsibilities, nor for me, am I a pastor in terms of calling. But because I'd be there, preach, and leave, I wouldn't get to hear Brother Dave a lot in person, except for the time we'd spend one-on-one. And you saw his gentleness, you saw his love, you saw his compassion when you were with him. And he'd get up and speak, and out of that broken heart, when I'd hear a message, or just that little cut there, I mean, I have to hold myself together because it cuts to the very core of my being. It burns in my very soul, that divine reality that just cuts through so much of the superficiality of not just of the culture today, but of the church today. I wrote many years ago that today what we specialize in is microwave ministry, because that was the instant tech of the day. Microwave ministry, instant results with no preparation. I've said that our fast food faith has produced biodegradable believers, But in reality, there's no such thing as drive-through discipleship. Well, those may sound like cliches, but you get the point I'm trying to make. Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 23:9, concerning the prophets, "My heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine because of the Lord and his holy words. The land is full of adulterers because of the curse. The land lies parched, and the pastures in the desert are withered." Often in the ministry of Jesus, you see pain. You see anguish. You see him sighing with anger because of the hardness of the generation. You see him praying in great anguish in the garden. Hebrews 5 tells us that he prayed with loud cries and tears. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 4:19 that he was in the pains of childbirth for them until Messiah would be formed in them, because they had fallen away. They had fallen into false teaching and false doctrine, and because of that, he was in deep anguish of heart. Do we know what it is to be burdened by the Lord? Let me say again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus, according to Hebrews 1, quoting from Psalm 45, was anointed with the oil of joy more than anyone who ever lived. There is joy in God's presence. And as we rejoice in him, we are strengthened. And without it, when we have a life with no joy, with no vitality, our own spirit is crushed and we're unable to really help others. But do we also know what it is to share the burden of the Lord? Do we also know what it is to share the pain of the Lord? Because weeping endures for a night, joy comes in the morning. Do we have those times of being burdened and gripped, where it feels like our very soul is being torn out? And out of that time of prayer and crying out to God, something real happens. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll go to the phones shortly. Departing from our normal focus on Israel and Jewish subjects this Thursday to reflect on a number of other things that have happened and that are happening in the world. First and foremost, the passing of Brother Dave Wilkerson. I wrote a poem, a number of years back, called "Whither Persecution." In words, what's happened to persecution? Persecuted saints? Oh no, not in our day. We are the enlightened church. We found a better way to preach the gospel message while getting no one mad. We leave out God the judge and just speak of God the dad. We major on the promises. We're positive to the max. We want the sinner to feel at home. We help him to relax. We're strong on self-acceptance. We build the ego up. We're here to make you happy. So come to church and sup. You'll find such tasty dainties. Each meal will be so sweet. Nothing will upset you. The sermon will be a treat. Sunday morning is the best show designed to entertain, with every detail chosen to spare the rebel pain. We've cut out all those nasty words, hell, repent, and sin. Our pastor's slick with such finesse, even his wardrobe's in. He's not the John the Baptist type, rabbit and out of control, raving and foaming at the mouth like some frenzied droll. Our church is for the family, with fashion shows and fun and bowling, tennis, swimming too, plus cruises in the sun. We're socially acceptable. We adapt and change our you. We're sensitive to our culture, like chameleons. We're true blue. Oh, away from us, you dreary ones, with your talk of self-denial. Jesus already bore the cross. Now we can live in style. The Savior's not offensive. He only gives good things. He makes us rich and prosperous so we can reign as kings. Suffering, hardship, martyrdom, they're really not for us. We're giving out the good news. There's no need for all the fuss. Persecution comes from lack of faith when saints don't know the word. Poor Stephen might be alive today if our message he'd only heard. Yes, dripping with sarcasm, but a portrayal of what is often in the body today, a lightweight, superficial pep talk instead of speaking the truth in love and in the life and power of the Spirit. Roger in Westchester, I understand you currently attend Times Square Church.
Yes, and I met you when you were speaking one time at that building across the street. I think you were speaking on Jewish persecution. And I had a copy of the Jewish press, and I gave it to you.
Hopefully, if I saw your face, I'd remember that. But yeah, I do remember the meeting, that Jewish outreach meeting we were having. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Roger? We've got about a minute before the break. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. That church is so shallow, and I can hardly fellowship with any Christian because they don't know anything, and there's no zeal, and they, but one believes this, the other believes that. the Christian bookstore that was less than 10 blocks from Times Square Church is gone.
Really?
Because nobody's interested. My brother lives in Greensboro, North Carolina, and that's the Bible Belt. And there's a Christian bookstore down there, and all they have is these books by self-help books by Christian celebrities. Like, you know, they're very, very little Charles Spurgeon, C.S. Lewis, you know, Tozer, Andrew Murray.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, Roger, we've got a break coming up, but there's no question that the superficiality of the culture has become the superficiality of the church. I know some bookstores are hurt by online sales and things like that, but to a great extent, we want to be entertained. We want a pep talk. Hey, Roger, keep finding people who love Jesus, and by your lifestyle, encourage them to go deeper. We'll be back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Offering some sober reflections today on the passing of David Wilkerson, offering some sober reflections on what's happening in the world in general. The riots in the Muslim world that continue unabated. And I mean, you're talking about a lot of lives lost, Libya and Syria and these other countries, the terrible storms that ravage the South. What should our state of mind be when things like this are happening? Second half hour, I'm going to talk more about the storms, going to talk more about what's happening in the Muslim world. This first half hour, focusing on the loss of a great voice in the body. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to weigh in. It's 866-348-7884. Again, Facebook is Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. You know, one of the reasons that I'm so grieved over the nonsense coming from Harold Camping, it's worse than nonsense because it's going to destroy lives. One of the reasons that I'm so grieved over this statement of fact, this is non-negotiable. When we asked Mr. Camping to come on the Line of Fire, his offices wrote back and made clear that this is not anything debatable. It is established fact that Jesus is returning on May 21st to, quote, rapture his true Christians. And then October 21st, the world will be destroyed. It grieves me for two reasons. It grieves me for the people who have been sincere and somehow misled, whatever root in them opened the door to them being misled. They have been terribly misled. They're very dedicated. And they may actually lose faith entirely. In other words, rather than recognizing when none of these things pan out, that Harold Camping was dead wrong in these and was being used as to deceive others rather than to help them in these particular teachings, rather than separating him from Jesus and him from the Word, they'll lose faith entirely. That's going to happen to some. If you've got friends and relatives believing these things, really be praying for them now and ask God for wisdom to help get them back into health in the body. But the other reason it grieves me is because the real voices are ignored and these false voices are listened to. So I'm holding my hand an article published in Christian Post this Monday, April 25th. Atheists mock rapture prediction as nonsense. Jesus is returning next month, according to one controversial group, and atheists are ready for it. They're throwing a rapture party. The group American Atheists calling this nonsense, advertising a party for heathens and skeptics, and on and on. So it makes any talk of judgment laughable. It makes any talk of judgment seem as if everybody's just completely off the wall. And Harold Camping is absolutely not my focus today. I want to make that clear. But that's one of the things that grieves me, because part of our role in the body is to reach out with the love of God, with compassion, to get involved in the lives of hurting, lost people, to continue to reach out even to those that don't want to hear, to pray for them, to bless those who curse us, and with that, to tell people that they will stand before God one day. That is part of the message, to tell them that they will stand before God and they will have to answer to God. We must tell people the truth. When Paul spoke to Felix in Acts the 24th chapter, he spoke to him about the gospel of Jesus, and it says he spoke about about self-control, righteousness, and the judgment to come. That is part of our message. There will be a final judgment. We will stand before God. Whether Jesus returns physically to this earth in 1,000 years or in 10 years, there will be a final judgment. And he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God. And every one of us will have to stand before the throne of God and give account. How then should we live? What grieves me is it seems that we go from one extreme to the other. We go from the extreme, and this is a crazy extreme, of this date setting as a fixed, definite thing that's going to happen, and all the other garbage that goes with it, that all the other deception that goes with that, and cutting, calling believers out of all churches, which Mr. Camping did some years back. You know, all the churches are apostate, everybody leave. That, to me, was the most grievous thing of all. The date setting is just a further proof of deep error. But we go, you got the one extreme, and then you got others that just want to be entertained, just want some kind of sideshow Christianity, just want to, go to a service so somebody will tickle them and make them happy. What about encountering God? What about getting God's heart for hurting and lost and dying world? I want you to hear another voice, man that was very close to David Wilkerson and that had the privilege of being very close with the last 5 years of his life, Leonard Ravenhill. Let's listen to clip number 5.
95% of Christians in the nation are weak. God can't trust them with vision. He can't trust them with burden. You can't trust children with jewels. You can't trust them with something that needs bravery. They're too timid. You can't trust them with a burden, you'll break them. 5 minutes inside eternity, I believe every one of us will have wished that we'd sacrificed more, prayed more, loved more, sweated more, grieved more, wept more.
Yeah, I mean, how can you argue that the moment we step into the light of eternity and see the reality of God and the reality of eternal life and eternal punishment, do any of us think that we'd say, I sacrificed for the Lord too much. I denied myself too much. Listen, I would much rather have the Lord say to me, Mike, you're a little too strict with yourself. Or son, you could have enjoyed certain things more. I'd rather that he told me that than on that day he said to me, you fool, you blew it all for the pleasure of this world. You forfeited eternal riches for some carnal appetite and carnal pleasures. I'd much rather have the Lord tell me that I carry too much of a burden. And by the way, I do not think I do. I do not think I carry too much of a burden. That's an insult even to the concept of burden to suggest that. I know I have to deepen my own life in God and know that he's calling me deeper and wants to entrust me with more if I will go deeper in him, relate to him more deeply, relate to him more soberly, relate to him in a more focused way so that he can then commune with me in a deeper and deeper way. But I am quite sure he won't say to me, you carry too heavy a burden. You should have just enjoyed the ride more. Oh, I love walking with the Lord, and I love serving the Lord. And I am, in God, an upbeat, optimistic person, enjoying life and enjoying the service of God while carrying pain for a dying world. I wonder if God's calling you and me deeper. Don't forget, friends, to take advantage of the many resources that we offer online, including special offers this week of materials that will equip you. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Dive in, take advantage of everything that we have there. This is our last week with our School of Cultural Engagement classes at about 80% off of normal price. Important classes taught by some of the top teachers in the nation, on separation of church and state, on reclaiming sexual purity, on it's time to rock the boat, a wealth of teaching, 6 weeks, 4 nights a week, all yours at a tremendous discount, 1-800-278-9978. Just a couple more days that we'll be offering this. In fact, we're out of stock and having to restock right now, but we want to get these to you. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today about the loss in this world of a great voice, a great leader in our generation, David Wilkerson. He was old, yes, and had retired from active preaching, was approaching 80 years old, but killed in a tragic car accident yesterday. With the Lord right now, pray for his wife who was injured seriously, and of course his family. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Again, click on the line of fire for today's show. I'm going to share a bunch more thoughts of my own experience working together with Pastor Dave in the early to mid 90s, preaching at Times Square Church. And I've got some more of my poems that I've written over the years. I very rarely read them on the air. In fact, some I've never read on the air. I don't remember over the years hardly reading any of them at all. So I'm going to read a few over the course of the broadcast, and then talk about the Middle East, Muslim world, and the storms in the South as well, deviating from my normal focus on Thursdays on Israel and the Jewish people and broadening the subject matter a little today. I remember the first time attending Times Square Church before I began preaching there, visiting with some friends while I was in New York, and I thought, you know, I know Brother Dave's message. I know he's got a serious message of repentance. I know he's warned about judgment coming. He's called for the church to really be in love with Jesus. And I thought it's going to be a pretty sober meeting. And I was shocked when I walked in to walk into an absolutely joy-filled celebration in the presence of God. And then from there, a deep worship and wonderful prayer. The deep worship, wonderful prayer I was expecting. It was the joy-filled worship I wasn't expecting, but why not? When you know the Lord, you walk in joy, but you also walk in sobriety. Paul described himself to the Corinthians and said that he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That, to me, pictures what it's like to walk with the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you agree with me that the body today has a lot of superficiality, a lot of pep talk, a lot of hype, but very few voices, very few people where you really feel someone's come out of the presence of God and they have a message from God for me? Before I pursue that subject some more, I want to illustrate something for you. I talked about it only briefly this week, but just to illustrate some of the battle that we're up against and some of the moral courage that it's going to take just for us to stand for some of the basics. Many of you know what happened with President Obama saying that he would no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, although he's on record saying that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. That's what he believed. He instructed Eric Holder, Attorney General, to no longer defend it and made clear that he thought the law was discriminatory, Defense of Marriage Act, recognizing marriage as the union of a man and woman. So the House of Representatives said, great, then we will defend it. If the administration won't, we will defend this in court. And they hired out a respected law firm, King & Spalding, one of the biggest, most respected law firms in the country. And what happened? Well, gay activist organizations put pressure on them. Wall Street Journal, it is now so politically incorrect to oppose gay marriage that a white shoe law firm will throw over a client rather than defend the law signed by President Bill Clinton? Is it now so politically incorrect? And Paul, I'm not sure if it's Clement because I've just seen his name in writing. The U.S. solicitor, a former U.S. Solicitor General said, hey, I signed on to defend this, and I am going to defend this. I will resign from King & Spalding, and King & Spalding is getting blasted for this. Because they took the client on. They said to the House of Representatives, we will take the stand, and then they backed off. But what's wild is that one group is taking credit for this in particular. It is the Human Rights Campaign, and we've had some personal dealings with the Human Rights Campaign. The Human Rights Campaign claims that this is the world's largest gay activist organization, that they applied the, quote, pressure points needed to make it happen for this major law firm to back away. Moral courage, it seems to be lacking everywhere. More to come. In fact, a clip from the Human Rights Campaign.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are reflecting on the loss of a great voice in our generation, that of David Wilkerson, and looking at some other things in society and around the world. Thanks for being part of the broadcast on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, dead serious about being a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Friends, we must have it. There must be awakening in the church that produces a moral and cultural revolution in the society. Otherwise, America, as we know it, is done for, at least for a generation. But I'm optimistic because God hears the cries of his people, and many are desperate, and many are longing, and many are saying, Lord, enough is enough. We have to experience you. He will hear the cries of his people. It may be costly for our nation, but what God will do will be glorious. Website askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire and get into the discussion that takes place there. Okay, before I go to the phones, thanks for being so patient. I will be going to the phones shortly. When the Human Rights Campaign came to Charlotte several years back, oh, it was around 2004, 2005, and they clearly announced their agenda, and this is who they are, and this is what they're bringing, and this is gay activist organization that according to their boasts, put pressure on King and Spalding, the law firm hired by the House of Representatives to defend marriage as a union of a man and woman. That became so politically incorrect, and pressure applied from gay activist organizations that the law firm, having signed the contract, backed out. I mean, this is kind of unheard of. It's bringing a lot of reproach to them. According to the Human Rights Campaign, we also contacted many of the firm's clients, LGBT student groups at top law schools, and used social media to inform the public about King and Spalding's wrongheaded decision. They caved in. To me, it's just a picture of the church has caved in, and now others in the society lose their moral voice, moral courage. If we don't have it, how can we expect the world to have it? When the Human Rights Campaign came to Charlotte, God burdened my heart. We had almost no budget for righteousness issues, like $9,000. This is like $35 million, I kid you not. But I felt if they're coming to our city, we're going to take them on. We're going to put the issues on the table. Other ministries were involved doing other things when they came into the city. I'm just talking about the thing that was on my heart to do. We couldn't get anything done the first year. Second year, I launched a lecture series of 5 nights in the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center on homosexuality, the church, and society. And the last night was debunking the myth of the Human Rights Campaign, who they really are, what they really stand for. Well, they ignored me. They wouldn't address the media about us whatsoever. They ignored everything we were doing. And then the next night, when they had their annual fundraising dinner in Charlotte, I was personally called out in front of, I don't know, 1,300, 1,400 people by the president of the Human Rights Campaign, Joe Salmanis. Play clip number 6, Joey.
So how about this Pastor Michael Brown? Are all of you familiar with him? He told the press that he wants to make sure that the public knows who this HRC is and what this HRC really stands for. And Pastor Brown, if you're here tonight, know this. We are not afraid to take you on and take back the conversation about religion and faith in this country.
Yeah, so that was the big public challenge. We just cut it short with some other unnecessary comments so you could hear the gist of it. We got back to him and said, wonderful, let's have a public discussion. They sent in Harry Knox, their director of religion and faith, who was then appointed to President Obama's Faith Advisory Council, to do a debate on a Christian response to homosexuality. You can watch it for free on our website on AskDrBrown.org. Just search for the word Knox, K-N-O-X, Harry Knox. Well, you know, the long and short of it, with all their big budget and everything else, they've left Charlotte. This last year, 2010, they moved to another state, and same with 2011, not here. They gave reasons that there's another convention center opening up in another city. God knows what the reasons are. God knows exactly what it was that influenced them to leave. All I know is they're not in the city anymore. All I know is if we stand up for what is right, there will be a difference. If we stand up for what is right, we are called to be witnesses. We're not always going to, quote, succeed in the eyes of man, but if we're determined to be witnesses, friends, we can make a difference. We see so much moral cowering in the society because there's moral cowering in the church, and you realize how the voices like those of David Wilkerson are so precious, so few and far between. I know God wants to entrust us with more. Can we prove ourselves trustworthy? All right, to the phones. Adrian, we lost Adrian in Manhattan. Matt in Alexandria, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
My pleasure. Just real quick, 2 points. One, it seems that most churches these days are more interested in protecting their tax status, so that's why they never take a stand. You know, it's always introspection this, the plastic smiles, and, you know, look into your heart and go home and sit in a corner. And the second thing I wanted to say is we've lost, you know, we've ceded the battleground over language, and we're absolutely afraid to engage. I mean, really, to get any meat on even just watching TV, I have to turn to EWTN just to watch 30-year-old clips of people actually taking a stand. And now when I turn on to some of the more live programs and more modern, they have a mock-up of a tomb, and they call for a $5,000 seed gift. It's absolutely ridiculous. We're afraid of our own shadows, and our pastors are the band leaders of a band of cowards.
Yeah, you know, Matt, I think what's really important is that we encourage leaders that we know and say, listen, stand for what's right. I'll stand with you. If you have a conviction, I'm not going to turn on you when you stand up for what's right. If you take an unpopular stand, but do it in the grace of the Lord, do it in the Spirit of God, I'm going to stand with you. And as others encourage leaders, it's going to strengthen them. Look, I see a lot of caving in. I see the exact same thing you see. What I want to do is be a voice to fellow leaders and say, come on, let's take a stand. And I believe that God's people will rally around leaders that do take stands. I don't mean in some self-righteous way where we just bash the society and attack everyone, but speaking the truth in love, doing what the leaders in the early church did, doing what leaders have done through the centuries, go against the grain, swim against the tide, stand up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequences. That's the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, and thank God that we didn't have the batch of pastors, priests, and whatever now that we did during the American Revolution, because those guys during the American Revolution, the Black Robe Regiment and such, they really put it on the line and said, this is right, this is wrong. Same thing during the Civil War in the North. This is right, this is wrong. I don't care what you think. And they did what was, you know, right and good as far as we know. And now we get, you know, a anniversary marking Roe v. Wade, and we march for life and stuff like that, and that's about it. But you know what? The porn store down the street, we're not going to rally around that, hold the vigil. The, you know, I can't stand to wash the leper's feet, so let me just contribute to whatever organization looks for it. I mean, it's fairly plastic.
Yeah, what we have to do is the key thing for me, Matt, and I appreciate the call. Thank you for weighing in. The key thing for me is that we have to model what we believe the answer should be. I thank God for everyone that's standing for what's right. I thank God for those who are weeping in secret. I thank God for those who are going into the rough places to evangelize. I thank God for those who are speaking the truth in love regardless of cost and consequences. It's just such a tiny remnant of the body in America. So for me, the question is, okay, then how can I live this out differently? How can I say to others, okay, watch me, follow me, let's do this together? On the one hand, I've had it with pep talk Christianity. Along with that, I've had it with sitting on the sideline throwing stones. Let's get in the thick of the action. Let's make a difference. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling and weighing in. I appreciated that. Joan in Lawrence, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. How are you today?
I'm blessed, but especially sober. Thank you.
Amen. I appreciate your show. It's the first time I've really heard your show, but I tuned in today to see if anyone was talking about David Wilkerson and his amazing life, and it was such a great loss, and I've just been crying all day, just, you know, just mourning his loss today, because he was just like a spiritual hero of mine, personally, and, you know, these great men of God, these older saints like David, you know, like Jeremiah and Michael Youssef, the men that are standing. They need our support. And they just stand on the principles of God. They speak the truth in love, and God blesses them, you know. You know, James Dobson standing up for the family, you know. We just really need to stand on godly principles and lift up those that are taking the stands. You know, Franklin Graham's out there, and he's getting fought, just, you know, saying Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, it's going to get intense, you know, but either we believe it, the rubber's hitting the road. Noah preached 100 years and got mocked, you know. I mean, we only got seven left at best, you know. And, you know, we just got to take a stand for truth. And you know what? Whatever's going to come, God's going to get us through, and God will bless our way. And, you know, I'm going to fight to the end because I figure we have a 1,000-year reign. I'll take a 100-year nap at the time, you know.
All right. Hey, Joan, thank you for weighing in. Stand strong. Keep lifting up Jesus. Hey, friends, we've got a break here. We come back, I'm going to share a poem, another clip from Brother Dave. Weigh in on the Middle East, the storms in the South, and even take another call. That's all going to happen in the next segment.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, do you realize why I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America? Do you realize that in writing it, I understood that people told me this is committing ministry suicide? Do you realize the level of opposition, spiritual and other, that you get when you stand for something like this and take on something that is so unpopular both in the church and in the world? Do you understand that it was written out of a deep burden from the Lord to help awaken the conscience of the nation? This is all the very thing we're talking about and seeking to emulate and seeking to live out in my own life, challenged again deeply and afresh by the passing of a dear ministry colleague and a great soldier in the faith, David Wilkerson. I'm going to play another clip from Brother Dave in a moment, but I just want to give you a few other reflections. Can I point out that all the turmoil in the Muslim world today indicates that Israel is not the culprit in the Middle East? That when you see the turmoil in the Middle East, it would be there without Israel. The turmoil in Libya, the turmoil in Yemen, the turmoil in Egypt, the turmoil in Syria. This is not because of Israel. This is because of internal Muslim-Arab fighting. We need to pray for the mercy of God to be poured out on these peoples, for them to know Jesus. And it's mind-boggling. You've got Syria slaughtering its own people. And where's the UN speaking up? I mean, Israel does something 1/1,000th of that, and there's an international outcry in the UN Security Council wanting to sanction them. Syria slaughtering its own people. Where's the outcry around the world? Where's the outcry in the UN? Where's the outcry in the American government? Just want to point that out, friends. And, you know, with all of the stupid speculation about the, you know, the May 21st date, and I call it stupid because it's leading people astray and makes a mockery of the word of God, setting a date, saying this is definite and all this stuff. You know, we forget that people are being wiped out every day, storms, unexpected tragedies, storms ravaging the South in America, unprecedented destruction in some areas. It's just a reminder to us to live soberly. To me, it's a reminder to us to live in light of eternity. Reminder to make our lives count. Yeah, I plan on going to a baseball game that one of our grandsons plays at this weekend and having fun watching him and enjoying life with the family. And I also plan on getting alone with God and with a broken heart and pouring out my heart to him and asking him for mercy and grace on this dying world and asking him to use me to make a difference. It is both. And I wrote this poem some years ago called Pablum from the Pit about some of today's preaching. It goes like this. Coochie, 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 coo. God loves me and God loves you. Smile, sinner, don't be sad. God's not angry, he's not mad. Even when you leave the path, there's no hell and there's no wrath. So don't you fear, just do your best. Judgment day won't be a test. God sees your heart and that's enough. The judgment seat won't be that tough. For you can't sin away his grace or take that smile from his face, because God is love and love is good. He'll treat you like you think he should. Trust me, sinner, to the end. My name is Satan. I'm your friend. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One more call and then a clip from David Wilkerson to end this hour. Tom in Boston, what is it that you saw while driving the other day.
Good afternoon, Mike. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm also a pastor in Boston, Massachusetts here, but one of the things about it, I live on the north suburban area of Boston, and just the other day I just happened to notice in north suburban area of Boston a big, gigantic billboard that was put out by Family Radio talking about Harold Camping's prediction about the world ending on May 21st, and it had the picture of a person kneeling down and saying, "Now is the time to repent." And then it said, "This is going to happen guaranteed." And I saw that, and I was grieved in my spirit. I mean, I groaned, and I just shook my head, and I was angry when I saw it. And I said, "Well, Lord, what can we do? What can I do with this?" And then I just felt in my spirit as I was driving home after leaving that, I just felt the Spirit of God saying to me, "Preach the gospel." And I believe as God's men begin to stand up and proclaim the gospel, the true, unwatered down, unadulterated, uncompromising gospel, the Spirit of the Lord will do the work. But again, God will work as we speak and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And just a point about David Wilkerson, I used to get his newsletter years ago, and I got a few of his messages on tape. And I truly believe the man was a prophetic preacher. He had a prophetic ministry. And it's truly the body of Christ has certainly lost a giant of the faith. And I know some folks who are associated with his ministry in Times Square Church. And truly, my heart is broken for his wife and family as well. But again, we do need some men and women who are going to stand for the truth of the Word of God. And I'm reminded of that scripture. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not the gates of hell on the move, it's the church on the move. And
yes,
I do
sir.
Believe God is going to move the church where he needs it to be in this last hour. But it's going to be those, as you said yourself, it's going to be those who are going to sell out for the gospel. Those who are not looking for comfortability down here, but are going to do what God has called them to do, looking to prepare for what we have up there. So God bless you, Brother Mike. Keep up the good work, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for weighing in. Stand strong, my dear brother. Amen. Let us listen to David Wilkerson calling us once more. Clip number two.
Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land. Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion, blind to lukewarmness, blind to the mixture that's creeping in. That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you, is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that biggest interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin that drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God.
Yeah, I wish we had more time to play more of that. All these clips are readily available online. You know, the best thing we could do to honor the memory of our brother is to take up the torch of Jesus, stand strong. Friends, my bottom line is this. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. If it dies, it bears much fruit. May the passing from this world of our brother David Wilkerson cause a multiplication of men and women of God, young people and old people alike, who will stand up for what is right, stand up for what is true, and glorify Jesus regardless of cost or consequence, whether by life or by death. A great Christian leader passes from the scene. Deadly storms ravage the South. Riots continue worldwide in the Muslim world. What should our state of mind be?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Messiah Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Friends, we have lost a great giant in the faith, a great soldier in the Lord, David Wilkerson, a man whom I had the privilege of working very closely with from 1991 to 1995, and his voice will be sorely missed, although he will continue to speak to us through his writings, through his messages, and perhaps speak to many more that he's left this world. But it's a time for some sober reflection. 866-34-TRUTH. I believe, I contend, I feel very deeply that we have very few voices in the body today. We have very few voices speaking to the body. I know that not everyone is called to bring a prophetic message. I know that not everyone is called to bring a wake-up call. I know that not everyone is called to speak out of agony of heart all the time. I know that fellowship with God produces joy, produces intimacy, produces hope. I know that that there's much that's needed for a body to be healthy and for believers to be healthy. And I know that we are terribly lacking in voices really speaking to us from the Lord, people coming out of the presence of God with a message from God, delivering it. And we have so many in our generation that fit this description, as has happened many times in history, fit the description that Paul speaks of in his writing to Timothy. Therefore, we must all the more go back to the foundations of the faith, all the more go back to personal encounter with God, all the more speak the truth, regardless of cost or consequences. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. You can communicate with us via Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Hey, just another reminder, as the clock is ticking, it's getting very close now, our May 11th rally in Raleigh. If you're a pastor or leader, we're having a special luncheon, but seating is very limited. It is 11:30 to 1 o'clock on May 11th at First Assembly in Raleigh. And then at night, 7 p.m., all of you who listen in the greater Raleigh area to the Line of Fire, we're going to have a special listeners rally. I'm going to bring a message I believe will stir you deeply. Everyone that comes, I want to give a free CD on our religious rights under fire. We'll also be signing copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America, so I want to mention that to you again. I will reflect as well on some other things that are happening in society. The storms, some of you right now listening to me are in areas that are threatened by terrible storms. Some of you have friends and family that have maybe their lives were endangered by these storms. I want to talk to you about that and some reflections on what's happening around the world in the Middle East. Normally on Thursdays, we focus in particular on Israel, Jewish people, Middle East. With the passing of Brother Dave, I was an extremely sober mood last night reflecting on these things, and especially having worked closely with him and preaching at Times Square Church 40 or 50 times from 91 to 95 in New York City. It was really a home away from home for me for years while I lived in Maryland. I appreciated all the more his heart and his love for the Lord and his love for God's people and his commitment to speak the truth. Sound the alarm. It's a lonely thing to do. It's something that brings you great misunderstanding. But by God's grace, he was faithful to the commission. We'll get your thoughts, your reflections, and I'll share more of mine when we come back.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. You know, when I first visited Times Square Church, before I began preaching there regularly, I was expecting something very sober because I knew Brother Dave had a sober message. I was so surprised at the joy-filled worship that took place there. And I was reminded that weeping endures for night, joy comes in the morning. Those who sow with tears will reap with joy. That Jesus, who is a man of sorrows, acquainted with pain, was also anointed with the oil of joy more than any of his companions. That the gospel is both and. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Let's listen once again to Brother Dave's voice. This is a clip that got a lot of circulation on YouTube. And again, I think one of the reasons it got so much circulation, and I trust it's going to get a lot more now with Brother Dave's passing, is that we have such a superficial society, and the church, rather than offering depth, has often said, let's be superficial too. You want entertainment? We'll entertain you. Oh, hey, look, the church is not going to entertain better than the world. You want a pep talk? You want self-help? You want, you know, get-rich principles? Shut off that infomercial and come to church. Friends, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Jesus, and in doing so, find the real meaning of life. In doing so, find out what we were created for. Find out why God fashioned us. Find out what it really means to live, not in some carnal, earthly way with someone just trying to pat you on the back and get you happy and get you prosperous, but out of encountering with God, living a changed life. Instead of offering depth to the world's superficiality, and by depth, I don't mean you have to use antiquated theological terms and be all stuffy. You can jump around the building, run around the building. That's fine with me. You can use the most high-tech instruments and setup in it. That's not the issue to me. It's the quality of what's coming out. It's the content of what's coming out. It's the message that's coming out. It's the lives that are being lived. What we need to do, friends, is offer depth to the world's superficiality, not fight superficiality with superficiality. So this is part of David's call to anguish. Clip number one.
Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you, or around you. Anguish. Deep pain. Deep sorrow. Agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric in our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man, and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish.
Can I ask you a question? Is there anything stopping you from being that man or being that woman? Is there anything stopping you from saying, God, deepen the burden in my heart? So many times I've looked at my life, and it's just felt superficial to me. It's felt like I'm just kind of going along with love. Oh, yeah, busy in ministry, and sure, we see some good fruit and things happening, but so many times it just feels superficial. And I've gone to God and said, God, deepen me. God, share your burden. Share your heart with me. A man that David Wilkerson was very close to for many years, and that I had the privilege of being very close to the last 5 years of his life, was Leonard Ravenhill, author of the book Why Revival Tarries. And in 1989, when God joined Brother Len and I together, he came with his wife Martha Of course, they're both with the Lord now. And their son, Paul, drove up from Texas, not far from the place where David Wilkerson was in a fatal car accident. He came from Lyndale, Tyler. So you're talking about same general neck of the woods. And they drove up and spent a few days at our home, and Brother Len did some ministering, some congregations and some meetings in different houses. I remember, how could I forget the night that he shared just about the life of Paul. Sat in a chair, and this time he's an old man, he's in his early 80s, just sat in a chair, and we squeezed like 50 people into our living room, and every square inch we could get people, and around him, behind him, all over. And he just spoke about the life of Paul, and we were devastated. And we just began to pray and cry out. The next morning, I was driving our daughters to school, and they just seemed to be a little grouchy, and didn't seem to be as chipper as normal. I said, "Girls, what's the matter?" And they said, "Well, it was hard to sleep with all the people screaming and crying last night." And you know, there was just such a depth of burden that came, and people so terribly gripped and wanting to live for God and conscious of where they had fallen short and knowing there was more. It wasn't a time of condemnation and hopelessness. It was a time of conviction. Often we don't like conviction because it pierces. It goes deep inside of us. That conviction stirs a lot of things up. We'd rather just get a pep talk and encouragement. Sometimes the encouragement follows our response to conviction. In fact, for me, conviction comes with encouragement because it means God is at work in me to draw me deeper and to put me on the right path if I've strayed in any way. And I remember as Brother Len was getting ready to leave, to drive back after those few days with us, that he got up very early in the morning, and I was up early again to take our girls to school. And he said something to me that was very profound. He said, "Mike, I'm praying that the Lord would trust us with more of his travail." He said that for him and for me, it was very, very humbling. He said, "I'm praying that God would trust us with more of his travail." Travail, the pains of childbirth, but in prayer. Paul writes in Romans 8 about the Spirit interceding for us with groanings that can't be uttered. He wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 4 about being in the pains of childbirth. We see this in many of the prophetic books, that the prophets were in agony and pain as they saw judgment coming on their people, and it drove them to pray. It drove them to cry out. It drove them to intercede. And in many cases, it was their prayers, their intercession that saved a people, that saved a city, that stopped judgment from coming for a season on a generation and gave them space to repent. Brother Len said, I'm praying that God would grant you and trust us with more of his travail. And I thought first that, again, I was not in the league of Brother Len in terms of the depth of his prayer life and the decades of the depth of consistent prayer that he had lived with. And it carried through his message when he spoke, even though at that point he was frail and he was old. Yet the power of the Spirit working through him was so deep. But that concept that hit me was God trusting us with more of his travail. In other words, there are people that you know, and you'll talk about meaningless things with them, but nothing really serious. And then there are other people you know, you pour out your heart to them. You tell them the most difficult thing going on in your life. If you needed someone to cry with, that would be the person. If you needed someone to unburden your soul to, that would be the person, because you trust them. Because they've walked with you in such a way as proven friends, you trust them. What a concept of God trusting us with more of his travail. What a call from our dear brother, David Wilkerson. A call to anguish, a call to burden. Look, I know some of you are struggling with life in general, and you're under just terrible sickness or financial pressure, and you're like, "Look, I'm in survival mode. I can't think about a burden right now. I'm burdened just to make it from day to day." I'm not trying to lay a trip on anyone, God forbid. But I'm saying for many of us, a lot of hours are wasted on a daily basis. For many of us, a lot of hours are wasted on a weekly basis. For many of us, we live at kind of a skin-deep level. I want to encourage you, friends, to spend quality time before the Lord and to say, "Lord, would you share your heart with me? Lord, would you share your heart with me in a deeper way so I can know you better and make you known more effectively?" I wonder, Jesus said this to his disciples. There are things I want to share with you, but you're not ready. Leonard Ravenhill used to say to me, I don't want to die and have the Lord say that to me. There are things I wanted to share with you, and you weren't ready. He was saying this to me as a man in his 80s. And I saw that sobriety in David Wilkerson. I saw that hurt for a dying world and go for the underdog, go for the down and outer. That's who his heart went for. That's why he started Teen Challenge and drug rehab ministry. But it came out of a depth of burden. And that depth of burden was there that when he spoke, it pierced to your heart. We're the voices today. Perhaps you're one that God wants to raise up to speak, but it'll start in the secret place between you and God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Where are the voices today that are speaking to the nation? Where are the voices that are speaking to the body? It's a question I've asked before. It's a question I'll ask again. With the loss of Brother David Wilkerson, the question becomes all the more acute. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Just a reminder, I've shared some things on Facebook recently I think that would really edify you. The editorial, Let the Awakening Begin with Us, we've posted that on Voice of Revolution and the Christian Post online magazines. The links are there on our Facebook page. Answer to a question with some grads about the greatest danger of the church today, the greatest crisis for the church today, that YouTube clip you can watch. So that's all linked there, Facebook page. And then we're always updating you with topics relevant to the broadcast here. You know, a very simple principle, you can't give what you don't have. If you come to me and need a $1,000 loan and I only have $500 to my name, I can't give you what I don't have. We can lay hands on people day and night to impart something, but if we don't have it, nothing gets imparted. There's this notion in a lot of charismatic circles about the double portion, that Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion. It was a double portion, meaning of what the other disciples would get. And it's literally two-thirds in Hebrew. Here's the concept. You have two sons. The firstborn son gets a double portion. So if you have two sons, you divide the inheritance into three portions, and the first portion, this first son gets a double portion, and the second one gets the single portion. But you can't give that person double what you have. We have this mentality that I can pray for you for a double anointing. Well, then why don't you pray for the next person for a double anointing, and then they pray for someone else for a double anointing. It's gone from 2 to 4 to 16 in three short prayers. No, that's not how it works. If it worked like that, we just get in the prayer circle, keep laying hands on each other until there's so much anointing that the whole world gets saved in 10 seconds when we walk out the room. Obviously, that's just spiritual silliness, that's spiritual fantasy. You can't give what you don't have, and you reproduce, as it's often been said, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. So who are we really? What are we reproducing? Yeah, there are different callings in the body. And not everyone is called to be a David Wilkerson. And not everyone's called to be you, and not everyone's called to be me. And yet it's clear that in the midst of a superficial, fast-paced society that's often reduced to sound bites and that sometimes doesn't know how to stop and do deep thinking, that these deeper voices that speak of a deeper life, that come out of a deeper encounter with God, are all the more missing in our day. And my hope is with the passing of Brother Dave, as much as it leaves a void, that it will be like a seed that falls in the ground and multiplies, and many will be raised up saying, I want to stand for what's right. I believe there are many, but often it takes a while before they emerge. I believe there is a company. I believe there is a remnant, but the voices are far too few, and we need to pray that voices will be raised up. I mean, you can differ with me. That's why we have phone lines. Even though I'm talking about something dear to my heart as a close colleague in years past with Brother Dave, and as a man who deeply respected and honored his ministry, had the privilege of preaching by his side many, many a time, in the early 90s at Times Square Church and seeing the great work the Lord had raised up there. But you can still differ with me, even though I'm paying tribute. You can differ with the larger things I'm saying, or you can weigh in, as others did the first hour, especially those that knew him or heard his message. 866-34-TRUTH. Vicki in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. It was Dave Wilkerson that made a, a prophetic statement in reference to judgment coming upon America. And I'm doing a Bible study with Kay Arthur on the book of Isaiah. And, you know, and she stated that God has a purpose and God has a plan. And oftentimes we don't know his purpose or we don't know his plan. The only thing that we can do is trust in his word. And then oftentimes, you know, the Lord will deliver his prophet out of that situation so they don't go through the judgment. And I, you know, and I believe that's what happened with Pastor Wilkinson, is that, you know, we oftentimes look at things and we say, oh, it's a tragedy and we lost him, but everyone has been given a certain amount of days on this earth, and God knows every hair on our head, and he had already determined, you know, when he would call him home. And so his ministry, what he has done, has been fulfilled. And we can rejoice in that and celebrate his life. And now he's home with the Lord. So I just wanted to make, you know, that comment.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Vicki. Certainly he was almost 80 and his health had been failing. And when I was just with a close friend of his a couple of weeks ago, I was wondering if I would get to see Brother Dave again before he left this world. I was hoping that I would, but thinking that that might not happen. Of course, you know, dying in a car accident, the suddenness of it, the shock of that gets attention all the more. But I want to come back to the issue about judgment. You know, sometimes a word will be spoken year after year after year, as the prophets did. Jeremiah prophesied for 40 years to the people of Judah. Sometimes message will be spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken and not heard. And we may not see the thing come to pass. And you say, okay, well, then that invalidates the message. What Brother Dave would say is this, because he was never setting dates. He wasn't falling into the error of the date setting people that, you know, this date America is going to be judged or else. What he would say is, look at the principles of the scripture. And that's the thing you get through reading the Bible. Look at how God dealt with nations. Look at how God dealt with individuals. And look at the principles. And certainly, we see this, that America, in terms of morality, in terms of spiritual stand, in terms of many other issues, while there's some pockets of God doing some good things, there is so much apostasy, so much darkness, so much moral confusion, so much immorality, so much departure from biblical foundations that we must have an awakening. Hey, thanks for weighing in. May we listen carefully to the words that have been spoken to us by those who have warned and by those who have said, wake up, wake up. Is it not time to wake up? Can I ask you a question? Is it time for us primarily to be enjoying the latest sporting event, watching the latest TV episode, getting excited about the latest candidate on American Idol, rising and falling with the stock market as the center of our lives, or perhaps while we live in this world and can enjoy things in this world, perhaps what we should do is focus our attention, our energy, our zeal on really knowing God in the way we've never known him before, so that in the short time we have on this earth, even if we live to be 100, our lives will count. As Leonard Ravenhill used to ask, and it's written on his gravestone, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Normally on Thursdays on the Line of Fire, we focus on Israel, Jewish people, Middle East. We're not giving that our full attention today because of the passing of David Wilkerson, a great leader in the body, a man with whom I had the privilege of working very closely, especially in the early to mid-1990s. Also, in light of some of the deadly storms that have ravaged America, some of you listening right now have been in the midst of these storms, and thank God you're okay, but maybe some of your friends or colleagues are not. I decided to change the subject matter today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. One of the nice things about live radio is you can turn on a dime. I do want to say this, though, about the Middle East. I want to point this out. When I was writing Our Hands Are Stained with Blood in the early 1990s about the tragic story of anti-Semitism in church history and then God's eternal purposes for Israel, there was a quote that I found very interesting that said, if you look in the Arab Muslim world today, you're not going to find any country where there's not some type of conflict, where there's not some internal battle or something going on. There seems to be a lot of uprising, turmoil, factions, etc. Even the control of Gaza, you've got Fatah and Hamas trying to come to some type of agreement, and you know, just the sides that are bashing Israel can't even agree together. I want to point out that all the people who try to blame the turmoil on the Middle East and on Israel's, they want to blame Israel, and this is all Israel's fault. Can I point out to you that all this stuff is happening and has nothing to do with Israel? That the turmoil in Libya and the turmoil in Syria, and look, you still got bombings going on in Iraq, a lot of that Iranian-sponsored, and Al-Qaeda and so on, that's got nothing to do with Israel. The revolution in Egypt and these other Muslim and Arab nations, it has nothing to do with Israel. And yet what is so amazing is when you've got the slaughter of people like in Syria, slaughter of people, I mean, to the point that reports of soldiers being shot because they refuse to shoot crowds, where's the outcry from the UN? I remember being at a lecture where Dan Rather moderated a lecture by Henry Kissinger and Fuad Ajami. Maybe 1991. And Fuad Ajami, who himself is Lebanese, respected professor at Johns Hopkins University and often a television commentator on Middle Eastern issues, Fuad Ajami said that Israel uses tear gas and there's an uproar and the UN calls into account. Iraq uses nerve gas and no one pays attention. So I just want to point out that what's happening in the Middle East cannot be laid at Israel's doorstep. And you could take Israel out of the Middle East and there would be conflict and war and factionalism within the Arab and Muslim peoples. And they need the gospel of Jesus. So quit scapegoating Israel. I also want to say this about the storms. And then we will turn our attention to the lack of voices in the body bringing a sobering prophetic word. Reflections on the passing of Pastor David Wilkerson. We're going to play some powerful sound bites. I'm debating whether I'm going to read a particular poem or not on the air, but I'm thinking I might. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking I might. Poem I wrote. Just not sure. Well, if I do, you'll hear it. But I want to say this in all seriousness. Just because Charlotte, North Carolina was not hit with tornadoes, just because where you live may not have been hit by tornadoes, just because you may have escaped it doesn't mean many others were not killed. Much loss of property, terrible damage to many, many lives. Just another reminder, I don't know what this means on a prophetic scale. I don't know what to attribute it to. I'm sorry, I can't give you that information. If I get insight, I'll share it with you. But it reminds me that we're in a fragile, fallen world where there's a lot of stuff happening that is damaging and destructive and painful. Let's not just skip our way through. Let's live with sobriety. In the presence of God, with joy, but also with sobriety. Does that make sense? Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's some people that come out of the presence of God, and when they speak to you, there's weight in their words. I don't mean that every message is heavy and the end of the world and gloom and doom, and you have to have a certain delivery if you have a certain look in your eyes and say things a certain way. Otherwise, No. I'm not talking about an appearance. I'm not talking about a style. I'm talking about a divine reality. Look, there's some people, when they just talk about worship, you just want to go worship. And there's some people, when they teach the word, you just want to go home and dig in the scriptures. And some people, when they talk about reaching the lost, man, you just want to, you go right out the door and look for people to share the gospel with. And there are other people that come from that place of conviction, a place of agony in God. And when they speak, it pierces to your soul. And suddenly you realize what's real. It was Catherine Booth who said, there's nothing like the light of eternity to show us what is real and what is not. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 and said that we don't look at the things that are temporal, but the things that are eternal, because the things that are, he said, excuse me, we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 866-34-TRUTH. Thinking about, reflecting on the passing of Pastor David Wilkerson yesterday in a car crash in Tyler, Texas. Yes, he was almost 80 years old, had retired from public ministry. He was still doing writing, and of course, his prayer life could touch many. We miss him dearly. My prayer and hope is that his message will be listened to now more strongly than it ever has before. This is from his call to anguish, which many people have listened to online. Let's play clip number 3.
You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, his heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me. Don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's some need to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy.
Well, what a call. Hey, some of you driving your car, you might just need to pull over or bow your head at work or at home. Just get along with the Lord and say, Lord, that's me that he's speaking to. You know, in Amos, the 6th chapter, the prophet indicted his fellow Israelites. And he said, you put off the evil day and bring near a reign of terror. You lie in beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David, improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions. But you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. Even when our own lives are blessed, even when things are fine in our own lives, there should be a grief and a pain for others who are hurting. I don't mean that we should feel guilty because we don't feel guilty. I'm not talking about feeling guilty at all. I'm talking about sharing God's heart. I'm talking about Jesus wanting to spend his last supper with his disciples, according to Luke 22. He said, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you, this meal with you before I suffer. There's something of wanting to share your heart with the one that you love. God wants to share his heart with us. Can you have a relationship with someone only for the upbeat times? Can you have a relationship with someone only for the fun? Can you have a relationship with someone and it's a real relationship when you're not there through thick and thin? I mean, don't the very marriage vows that we take say that, you know, in sickness and in health and that whole thing, that whether we're having a great time or a bad time, we're in this together. Could it be that God wants to share more of his burden with you and me, more of his pain with you and me, so that we could, through prayer, through carrying this burden to the Lord, bring healing, bring salvation, bring an answer to many? And as Brother Dave said, it's in that place of brokenness and communion with God that we really experience tremendous joy of the Lord. The most wonderful times of fellowship I have with God are often times of great travail and great burden and crying out under the burden of the Lord. I'll tell you, there's an intimacy with it, and there's a deeper joy that comes out of it that cannot be stolen away by random circumstances. Robert in Littleton, Colorado. Well, I won't talk to Robert today. 866-34-TRUTH if you'd like to weigh in. You know, I mentioned in the first hour, again, many of you listening don't know that there's a first hour because it's not in your neck of the woods. We broadcast different hours in different parts of the country. So you can listen to all the broadcasts, all the archives, by going to AskDrBrown.org, clicking on the Line of Fire. You can subscribe by podcast. Hey, and just a shout-out to the many of you who do subscribe by podcast. It would be awesome if you just sowed into the Line of Fire on a monthly basis or gave a one-time gift once a year. That would really be awesome. All of you listening on a regular basis on podcast, if you sowed in $5 or $10 a month, you have no idea how much that would mean to us in enabling us to be on the air and reach many, many, many more people. Or send a one-time gift to help and do it once a year. That would just enable us to reach a lot more people and put a lot more material out to reach more people for free every way we know how. But in the first hour I mentioned this, I'll share it again. One of the things that grieves me deeply about the false date setting of Harold Camping and guaranteeing it's a fixed thing that Jesus is returning on May 21st to rapture his elect, and then what is October 21st is the end of the world. One of the things that grieves me is that people are deceived, people are hurt, people will be led astray, and they won't separate his teaching from Jesus, his teaching from the Bible, so when his words don't come to pass, they'll lose faith in God. That's tragic. We need to be praying for those people. But it's also tragic that the world mocks this, that when someone gives a sober warning to wake up in light of eternity, to wake up in light of the fact that we will all stand before God in judgment, and to wake up to the fact that God could well be bringing judgment on our nation, that those voices will now get associated with the voices of those with false date setting. And there's an article about atheists planning special parties, May 21st, May 22nd, mocking not just Harold Camping, but mocking the gospel. Of course, atheists do that, and they're lost, and we need to pray that God will grant them repentance. But you're talking about people thinking that this absolutely and actually represents Jesus, where it's just one person with false teaching. That's why the voices speaking the truth need to be louder and louder and louder within the body and then to the world. It comes out of relationship with God. It's not about being mean-spirited. It's not about beating people down. It's not about whipping them with the word. Why are you smiling? Why are you smiling? You shouldn't be smiling. People are dying. No, it's not about killing any expression of happiness or joy. There's a time to dance. There's a time to mourn. This is just part of life. There are times that are up times that are down times, but always in relationship with the Lord, there should be joy in his presence, and always in relationship with the Lord, there should be a carrying of his burden because we are co-workers with the Lord. Being close with Leonard Ravenhill the last 5 years of his life and then working closely with David Wilkerson for about 5 years, I heard their hearts. I saw the burden of their lives. I saw that it was not just something that was turned on and off. It was part of who they were. And listen to this call from Leonard Ravenhill, clip number 4.
We have never seen the agonizing death of a man on a cross. Immediately a man was nailed to the cross, he lost all his rights. And if you ever get nailed to the cross, you'll lose all yours too. Paul says, don't trouble me. I'm branded. I bear the marks of a slave. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I've no will of my own. I've no rights of my own. There's an old hymn established on that very theme. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours.
You know, that comes out of a fresh encounter with the Lord. You can't work it up, can you? But you can determine, you know, I'm going to break through. I can't live the way I've been living. I've got to break through. I know there's more. The clock is ticking. I'm getting older each second. I'm heading ultimately into eternity. How am I living? Does my life make sense in the light of eternity? When we lose a voice like David Wilkerson, or in 1994, a voice like Leonard Ravenhill, time for us to reflect. Time for us to ask ourselves, how does my life line up with the cross? Have I taken up my cross? Am I following Jesus? Is he really my all in all? Don't be condemned if you're falling short, but turn to him and he will turn to you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the poem. we'll see who's still listening when I'm done. I'll do this in a moment. And I do this, I'm making light of it, but really, with all seriousness, I do this because it's a serious poem, as you will see. Once I get into it, 866-34-TRUTH, some reflections today on the passing of David Wilkerson. If you're looking for a place to be trained that is absolutely serious about the gospel, absolutely serious about raising up leaders and sending them out to be world changers, be it on the mission field to the ends of the earth or be it throughout America, Fire School of Ministry, which is a leadership institute, could be the very place that God is calling you. You can come fresh out of high school, but you got to be really serious to do this because it is leadership training. You can come after completing graduate degrees at other seminaries. You can come after 10 years in ministry and you need more training and equipping. Fire School of Ministry, we have a special event, Discover Fire, June 23rd to 26th. So to find out about that, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Fire School of Ministry. Okay, I know many of you listening are not charismatic, not Pentecostal. Many of you are. Many of you are familiar with what's called being slain in the spirit. You pray for someone and they appear to fall down because of the being overpowered by the spirit. Many people embrace this, say it's wonderful. Others criticize it. I wrote this poem years ago called We All Fall Down, with apologies to Ring Around the Rosy, because as a charismatic, as one who would pray for people and see this happen, I often saw that this became the big happening and lives weren't really being changed, and I said there's got to be more. When the message is right and the Holy Spirit moves, if people fall down, or that's not the issue. The issue is how do they live when they leave the building? How are they living a year or two or five later? That's always my issue. So my issue here is not with the manifestation. My issue is with the superficiality. So here it goes, and yes, it's sarcastic. And it is to the tune of Ring Around the Rosy. It's in my book, A Time for Holy Fire, as well. Line up at the altar, time to laugh and falter. Ushers, ushers, we all fall down. Catch them oh so gently, they're getting filled aplenty. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. A towel for the slain sister, be careful not to miss her. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. How great the Lord God's power, how awesome is this hour. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. What a sign and wonder, the spirits reign and thunder. Ushers, ushers, they all fall down. This is what we've sought for, longed and hoped and prayed for. Ushers, ushers, we all fall down. Praise God for this revival, the key to our survival. Ushers, ushers, we all fall down. But far from our church altar, nations quake and falter, and starving boys lay dying, and homeless girls lay crying, with missionaries groaning, and saints in prison moaning, and terrorists still toiling, while the Middle East is boiling, and America collapses as morality relapses, and fetal brains are sucked out, tiny organs neatly plucked out, while gays prance down our streets, and we hold Christian retreats. Yes, the world is going mad, but not us. Oh no, we're glad. For now, it's party time. Believers, get in line. Ushers, ushers, we all fall down. Written back in 1993. Friends, I'm not in this for some show, be it a radio show, be it some church show. I'm not in this just so people can get all excited and hyped. whether it's a charismatic church or Baptist church or who cares where. I think your heart beats for the same thing as mine. I want to see lives changed. I want to see lives changed in a lasting way. I want to see Jesus glorified. I want to see God move in such a way that people can't take credit for it because it's too big. I want to see God move in such a way that people can't take credit for it because it's too deep. I want to see God move in such a way where people can't take credit for it because we're all on our faces, laying on our faces, prostrate before God saying, "Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, you're amazing. Oh God, you're wonderful. Oh God, you're everything to me." When I see a saintly man like David Wilkerson leave this world suddenly in a car crash, as I recognize the rarity of voices like his, it moves me to pray all the more, "God, raise up voices in our generation. Raise up men and women of depth. Raise up people who will swim against the tide, who will go against the grain." You know, I've talked a lot in recent weeks with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, coming out. And I'm not saying this to make myself into some martyr. I want to illustrate a point, because I believe you're listening because you're of like heart. If you knew the resistance just for standing with these kinds of things, it is so incredibly illustrated now with our president saying that he will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Look, he will no longer defend the idea that marriage is the union of a man and woman. So the House of Representatives said, "We'll take this up." And they hire one of the nation's most respected law firms, King & Spalding, to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. And because of pressure from gay activists. Here, Andrew McCarthy, a National Review Online, wrote this. "Paul Clement is a brilliant lawyer. Putting two and two together, gay rights groups realized they would face one of the nation's most polished appellate advocates, one who would effectively employ all the compelling DOMA arguments the Obama Justice Department had been burying in the sand. Predictably, they," meaning gay rights groups, "went postal on King & Spalding, threatening a boycott of their clients. The firm folded like a cheap tent, abandoning the representation while muttering some gibberish about how the vetting process had failed." The criticism against King & Spalding for folding is remarkable. But that's the kind of pressure that's out there. One of the nation's biggest law firms, most respected law firms, caves in to pressure from gay activists. And what were they defending? That marriage is the union of a man and woman. Friends, I don't know exactly where we're on the prophetic calendar, but I can tell you right now, it's a very late, dark hour in America. And yes, there can be revival and awakening. I believe there will be. I believe there will be, but it's got to come out of a place of desperation. And I want to appeal to you, friends. Every one of you can do this. Every one of you can pray that God would give us strength, that God would help us, help me, help our ministry team to take hold of God and speak the truth. I believe we're committed to do this, but with prayer backing, we can do it with greater anointing. With prayer backing, we can do it with greater effectiveness. David Wilkerson is not here. Leonard Ravenhill has long been gone. Thank God for the other voices across America, but it's our desire to be one of those voices. It's our desire to say we will stand and to encourage all of you that want to stand. So pray for us and pray for the distribution of A Queer Thing Happened to America. This is a major prophetic undertaking to awaken the conscience of the nation. And together we will make a difference. Resources we'd love to get in your hands, and this will help us with the Line of Fire broadcast as well. 6 weeks of teaching, School of Cultural Engagement, radically discounted, separation of church and state, reclaiming sexual purity. It's time to rock the boat. 6 weeks, four nights each week, terrific teaching, all on CD. Get it now. We've just got two more days for this offer. Call us at 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line is this. God has put something in your heart that will not be quenched until you stand up for what is right. God has put something in your heart to make a difference in this generation. Jesus died for you, rose for you, lives in you, His Spirit is upon you. Stand up, my friend, and make a difference. Change the world.